Hey guys, what's up? It's Raven. Fun fact, tigers not only have striped fur, but they actually have striped skin as well. But on another note, today I'm going to be doing the episode that I have been teasing and talking about. I think it's been in my last two weekly vlogs. If you guys watch my vlogs on my main channel, I have been talking about wanting to do this certain special podcast episode, and I kind of like hyped it up as being like this big deal where I really need to tell you guys something and I need to answer these questions and like, oh my God. And you guys are in the comments like, I can't wait for this podcast episode. Like, whatever. And I really didn't mean to make it into like that big of a deal. I mean, it is, but it isn't. I really just want to dive right in and just like skip all the disclaimers and stuff. I am a little bit nervous to do this episode, and I actually already tried to record it once before and I was having technical difficulties. Also, I hope everything sounds and looks okay in this episode because I am experimenting with some new equipment and different setups and stuff, because I really do want to take my podcast a lot more seriously this year and be more consistent with it. You guys seem to really like when I had Sadie on as a special guest in my last episode, so I do plan on continuing to have guests. I do plan on continuing to just like record more episodes more often and try to like level up the quality and level up everything when it comes to On Another Note with Raven Elise. So I'm currently experimenting with a different setup. I already know it's not quite right, but hopefully it's tolerable for this episode and we will continue to improve. But to basically dive right in with this episode, I'm nervous. There's basically two main things that I wanted to talk to you guys about and just kind of fully explain and fully confirm, if that makes sense. I just feel like I want to make a couple of things clear and I want to explain some stuff just so that I can kind of feel like we're all on the same page. And then I feel like subsequent podcast episodes and vlogs and things like that will make a lot more sense if you guys have this information for sure, clearly explained. We know what's going on. Okay, now we can move past it, type of thing. So the first topic is the topic of Zaya's dad, which of course is just like a hot topic all the time. It always has been ever since Zaya was born, since before she was born. People have had a lot of questions about her dad, my relationship with her dad, her relationship with her dad, and so many more detailed questions on top of that. And it's been something that I've definitely touched on. I've definitely answered certain questions, especially more recently. If you guys do watch my podcast, if you are caught up, you know that there's been certain things that I have like more directly touched on. But I guess I just kind of wanted to once and for all make one thing extremely clear, because I still get a lot of questions on it and I feel like I've maybe sort of danced around the topic. Maybe some people know this, maybe some people don't. But just to fully put it out there, I did just want to let you guys know, like for sure, on the record, that Zaya does not have a relationship with her dad. I don't have a relationship with her dad. We are zero contact. He is not in her life. He is not in my life. His family is not a part of our lives. There is nothing there. That's the best way that I can put it. There's nothing there. Any question that you might have as far as, does Zaya know her other grandparents on his side? Does Zaya spend holidays with them? Does Zaya, any question like that? The answer is no. Any question that you could think of along those lines, the answer is no. No contact, no relationship. No talking, no seeing, no FaceTiming, no nothing. No nothing. Let me say it again. No nothing. And I'm laughing because to me, I felt like maybe people already knew that. But then at the same time, I get questions about it all the time. And it kind of made me realize that like maybe sometimes I am talking in code. Maybe sometimes I am being a little bit too vague. And maybe I just need to be more direct about it. So this is me being extremely direct about it, just to get that initial question out of the way. Now, the next follow-up question is, of course, why? Well, what happened? Why is it like that? Why does she not have any contact with him? Why can she not? Well, why not at least this and why not that? And how come? And, you know, so many follow-up questions. And I feel like maybe that's the bigger piece of it that you guys are wondering about. Because I feel like if you really watch my content, you probably already knew the fact that, you know, he's not in our lives, but you're wondering exactly why. And this is something that I really hope you guys can understand and respect. I am not going to tell you guys, the internet, anything that I have not told Zaya, my daughter, herself yet. Keep in mind, Zaya is only 6. She's about to turn 7. She's only in first grade. There's only so much that she can absorb and understand and handle right now. I have had brief, age-appropriate conversations with her. She has had a few questions here and there, and I have answered a few of her questions here and there in an age-appropriate way that she can understand and handle when it comes to her dad. Beyond that, she is not old enough. She is not ready. She does not have what she needs yet to fully understand the full story for me to sit her down and tell her all the nitty-gritty details and explain the whole situation to her, for her to fully know what's even going on with her dad or what happened or why. All these questions that I know for a fact she is going to have, and probably pretty soon, but up until this point, it's just been, she knows that she does not have a dad in her life. She knows that families come in all different shapes and sizes. She knows that she knows his name. She knows his location. And she somewhat kind of knows what he looks like, sort of, based on just her own memory. But other than that, I haven't sat down and explained this and that and all these nitty-gritty details. So I'm not going to explain it to the internet, because why would I put that on the internet for her classmates, her teachers, her friends, parents at school to be able to click on my podcast and get the whole rundown and form opinions and possibly say things to her and possibly judge her and make fun of her? Like, I know she's only 6, but she's already getting to that age where, like, kids at school, you know, everybody parents differently. So some kids is doing all types of stuff on the internet already in first grade, have free reign to be looking up stuff. Some kids, quote unquote, mature faster than others. And like, we've kind of already had a few issues like that where it's like, I have to be careful about the position that I'm putting her in as far as how other people are going to see her and talk to her and possibly make fun of her and possibly say things to her. So, and just in general, it's just not right, in my opinion, for me to be putting her business, because it's my business, it's his business, but it's her business as well. That's her business. That's her life story. That's something that's extremely personal to her, to Zaya. This is Zaya's personal business. And as her mom, I am not going to come on the internet and put it all out there and explain it to you guys just because people are curious when, like I said, that's her business and I haven't even explained it to her yet. So I said all that to say, that's my boundary. I will consider telling you guys certain things and opening up and taking certain questions and, you know, touching on that topic more. I will consider doing that after I've gotten that far with Zaya. So when I reach the point of telling Zaya more of the story, okay, now maybe I can tell the internet more of the story. But it's not going to be, you know, one before the other in that way. You know what I mean? So hopefully that makes sense. Hopefully you guys can respect that. And hopefully you guys can kind of better understand why I just dance around certain things and I'm not super direct about certain things. Although, don't get me wrong, I do see the value in answering some of those questions, discussing some of those topics. You know, I understand that people don't always have ill intentions when they're asking. I understand that some people genuinely, they need somebody to relate to because they're going through the same thing. They need some advice or, you know, whatever it might be. And I do definitely see the value in sharing personal things like that. I've always believed in that, you know, believed in the power of sharing your story to the world, even if it might be a negative story, even if it might be, you know, kind of embarrassing for me. There's power in that. And I get that. But at the same time, I do still have to have that boundary for Zaya's sake. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to clear up the simple fact that, like, no, there is no relationship there. There is no co-parenting. There is no every other weekend. There is no other side of the family, grandparents, holidays. There, no. I want to clear that up because Zaya knows that. So that's like fine for y'all to know. But the whole who, what, when, where, and why, no, we're not going to be discussing that. And if there are times when I do kind of slightly touch on certain topics, that's why I sort of talk in code and I'm sort of like more vague about it, because I'm trying to like respect that boundary. So hopefully you guys can respect that boundary. Now, the second thing is how that, in terms of me feeling like I'm not going to cross that boundary and I'm just not going to talk about certain things, how that has affected my career. And that's been a struggle for me. When I got pregnant, it was already kind of an iffy thing from the jump. Not even kind of. It was a if. It wasn't, you know, your fairy tale love story, pregnancy story. Oh my God, we're so excited. This is so great. Let's tell the whole world. It wasn't like that. It was definitely a difficult situation. It was an accident. It was unexpected. It was unplanned. It was scary. It was a lot of negative things. A lot of negative feelings surrounded my pregnancy. So for me to even tell you guys that I'm pregnant, for me to even share that journey with you guys, was already a rocky situation, already uncomfortable for me. I'm sure you can imagine being in a very uncomfortable, very personal situation, dealing with just what that even feels like in real life. But then on top of that, wanting to, or feeling like you need to, or for whatever reason, sharing it with the whole wide world via the internet and having to see and hear what everyone else has to say about it. That was already, just in and of itself, just the fact that I'm pregnant, without even diving into the details about it, just the fact that I'm pregnant was already iffy as far as me being on social media. But I figured out a way and I felt comfortable enough and I like worked through being able to share my pregnancy with you guys. And like that turned out okay, you know, cool, whatever. But when it came time to give birth and now I have this baby and now my life is really changing even more as a new mom, but not only as a new mom, but as a new single mom, because I was single already during my pregnancy. I knew well before I gave birth that I was not going to be in the traditional partnership of mommy and daddy. I already knew that. So I'm already thinking to myself, okay, how's that going to go as far as sharing that with the world? You know, it was already very uncomfortable to share the pregnancy. Now, how am I going to share the whole single mom? How am I going to share that whole side of it? So that gave me a lot of anxiety. Like, how am I going to tell this story? You know what I mean? How am I going to tell this story? That's really not a very good story. How am I going to put myself out there? How am I going to swing it and frame it and phrase it? And the thing with me is that I've always been really big on just being honest, not trying to swing it and frame it and phrase it in a certain way. Just literally just being honest, raw, real, open, vulnerable, and extremely honest. That's all I know how to do. That's all I've been doing ever since the Tumblr days, ever since the MySpace days, ever since I first got on social media, before I even knew that being an influencer was a thing or was an option for me. It's just been part of my personality. It's just been my passion to share my story online, almost in the same way as you have authors who love to write, who love to tell stories and might even be telling some of their own personal stories. It's for the love of storytelling. It's for the creativity, the creative outlet of storytelling. And that's always been something that I've been super interested in. Like I said, I've been doing it for years and years and years, ever since I was 13, 14 years old on Tumblr, not for exploitative reasons, not for, ooh, I'm going to put this out on the internet and I'm going to get tons of attention and I'm going to make tons of money off of it, because no, that wasn't a thing back then. It's just what I love to do. I love storytelling and I love the power, like I was saying earlier, the power of being vulnerable and sharing your story with other people and the effect that that can have, the positive effect that that can have on other people. I love that. I live for that. I feel like that's what I was put on this earth to do. Like, not to be cheesy or anything, but when people ask me like what my passions are, you think of like my creative interests, like interior design and DIY, and I went to school for fashion and stuff like that. And yes, those are my passions and those are my interests. But deeper than that, when I really get to the root of it, I love storytelling, and I love the creative aspect of storytelling and the vulnerable aspect of it. And I think that's what has kind of drawn me into being a lifestyle content creator. So when it came time to tell this story of my pregnancy and becoming a single mom, it was really, really hard for me because up until that point, I was used to being able to just tell my story. Just tell my story, whether it was talking about mental health, my struggles with anxiety and depression, whether it was talking about my struggles with dealing with severe cystic acne and my extreme insecurity around my skin and my acne, whether it was talking about my insecurity about my weight and feeling like I'm too skinny and too tall and too whatever. Like, there were so many things before that, you know, through high school and college that I openly shared with you guys. And I saw so much, I just saw such a positive effect from being able to share those stories with you guys. And I love doing it. And I saw myself, I thought I was going to just continue to do that. You know, now I'm doing this influencer thing full time, and I'm just going to continue to tell my story just like I always do. Raw, real, open, and honest. I don't care if it's embarrassing. I don't care if it's negative. I don't care if it makes me look bad. I'm here to tell my real story and touch people with my real story. But then when it came time to tell the story of me becoming a single mom, all of a sudden it was like record scratch, brakes screeching. Hold up now. Nah. You can't just do what you've been doing. You can't just tell the story like you're used to. Why? Because this isn't just your story. Like I said, it's my business, but it's his business, and it's Zaya's business, and it's everyone else who's involved, both of our families. Like, this is not just something that you just casually pop up on the internet and give the whole breakdown. And that was already, like I said, just already kind of during my pregnancy, it was kind of like that. When I first gave birth and Zaya was a newborn baby, it was like that. But it got really serious, and it became really, what's the word I'm looking for? Apparent to me that I was not going to be able to tell my story when Zaya was about one, two years old, was when everything kind of really got real and got serious. And there was a lot going on. There was a lot going on when Zaya was like I said, 1, 2 years old. It started to kind of like die down and come to a solution, I guess you could say, when she was like 3. But up until she was 3, it was a lot going on. I'm talking about stuff that I cannot talk about legally. I'm talking about really serious, really just stuff that I've never even remotely mentioned on the internet, because it's like that big of a deal. And it really made me feel trapped. It made me feel so frustrated and so trapped to know that there's so much going on, and I'm so used to being able to share my story, but I feel like I have a piece of duct tape over my mouth right now. And I feel like I cannot express myself. I feel like I cannot do what I came here to do. And I'm having to tiptoe around it, and, you know, and it was such a like bottled up, frustrating feeling that I was not used to feeling. And it was because I have, you know, my lawyer in my ear being like, let's not. I have my parents in my ear being like, no, you should really not talk about this, and let's just keep this under wraps and blah, blah, blah. And you know, they were right. I'm not trying to say that like, oh, my lawyer and my parents kept me quiet and they just didn't want me. No, like, they were right. That was great advice. That was the correct advice for them to give me, to not talk about certain things, not share certain things, not reply to certain things, not, you know, stir up certain things. Like, they were right to tell me that. And I don't, you know, I don't fault them for that. And I don't disagree with that. But, and I also knew, as bad as I wanted, there were certain times, and there's files somewhere on my computer, somewhere on my hard drive, where I recorded certain videos or certain, or I wrote certain posts where I was like, I'm just gonna tell everyone, I'm just gonna let this out. Like, I really need to express this. And I wrote the whole post or I recorded the whole video and I just never posted it because I knew in my heart, that's not smart. That's not smart. You can't just post everything on the internet anymore. You know what I mean? Like this, like, again, I got to think about Zaya. But it was just really, really frustrating. And also what kind of happened at the same time as I started to feel more and more restricted and more silenced and blocked in and frustrated with not being able to tell you guys what was really going on and not being able to really share my real story of what my real day-to-day life really is, and feeling, sometimes even feeling like I was flat out lying to y'all. You know what I mean? Like being a phony fraud. I'm so used to being this raw, real vlogger where like y'all just really know me and y'all really know what's going on. And there were times during that time period where I know there was still pieces of content where y'all thought that I was being super vulnerable, but if you only knew how much that was like only on the surface, like what I shared with you guys during that time was very surface level. Honestly, there is so much more that I wanted to say that I felt like I couldn't say. But at the same time, I also was experiencing a shift in my social media career because I was gaining more subscribers, you know, I hit 1 million subscribers, stuff like that. I was starting to get a lot more opportunities to work with brands and do these sponsored posts and brand deals where, you know, these major brands are wanting to sponsor my YouTube videos. But when you work with major brands, they have a lot of requirements and restrictions, and they have a certain theme to the campaign, certain talking points, certain thing that they need you to stick to. So in a sense, they are partially directing and controlling your whole video when you work with them. And it does vary across the board, depending on what kind of campaign it is, depending on the brand. Like, it's different. It's not always as strict, but I have found in my experience, the bigger and more well-known the brand is, the more strict they are, and the more I felt stifled in my creativity when I was working with them. So I already wasn't being as vulnerable in my vlogs. Then I started working with these brands who had all these restrictions and different directions that they wanted to take my video in. And so you can clearly see the change in my content. I feel like if you scroll back on my channel, you can kind of see where I was being myself and being super vulnerable and doing my own thing. And then it kind of started to change into more of a commercialized, watered down, family friendly, hee hee ha ha, let's just talk about hair products. And you know what I mean? Like, that vulnerability started to really dissipate and disappear. And I was happy at the time because of course I was so happy to be working with these brands and get these opportunities and to have my channel become more quote unquote like commercialized, because with opportunity comes the check. I was glad to get the opportunity and work with these big, that was my dream, you know, as an influencer, that's the dream. That's the goal. Work with the big brands, get the big checks, you know, have your face and your name associated. Like, I was super happy to be doing it and I felt super proud of myself, and it was a thrill and it was a rush to get like the next biggest opportunity, and the next one was even bigger and the next paycheck was even bigger. And like, I was still, you know, doing well as far as my views and my subscribers, and it didn't seem like everyone hated the content or anything. So I was like, cool, great. But over time, you know, Zaya is 6 now. That started happening when she was, you know, a toddler. So over the last few years, it has started to take a toll on me. It was exciting and cool and fun and happy to get the opportunity and happy to get the check at first. But now it's like, ugh, like I'm super burnt out. I'm super burnt out just from doing the same thing for so many years and working with these brands, y'all. Working with these brands, y'all, it takes so much out of you. I know that it sounds very like, woe is me, first world problems, like, you know, rolling your eyes because you're thinking being a social media influencer cannot be that hard for me to be complaining like this. But I swear, like, when, if you were able to just switch places with me, you would see what I'm talking about. Like, it's just so, I don't know. it took a lot out of me over the years to be doing social media in the way that I was doing it. I feel like maybe I was spreading myself a little bit too thin, trying to do a little bit too much. And I did become very burnt out just from the work itself. But on top of that, I was becoming burnt out because I was losing my passion, because the passionate part was the personal part for me. The passion always came from the personal, vulnerable side of things, and feeling like I can't do that while also working with these. It was just like double whammy of really making me not really enjoy what I was doing anymore. But I didn't know how to escape it, because it's like, what am I going to do? Not do these huge brand deals? Say no to these opportunities and these paychecks? And not even the paycheck, but just like the opportunity of working with Target, working with Walmart, doing these really cool things. Why would I say no to that? You know what I mean? And then on the other hand, it's like, what am I going to do? Just say F it and put all my business on the internet, all Zaya's business on the internet, just so I can tell my story and feel like I can kind of get that off of my chest. Like, no, I can't do that. I can't spill all the tea, because that would not be smart or responsible or mature. And I can't just stop working with these brands, because that would be a horrible business move. So I felt very stuck. I've been feeling very stuck, in the sense of just kind of the routine that I got in, the niche, the style of content that I kind of felt stuck in over the past few years. And I think at first, like I said, y'all were cool with it. Y'all were proud of me. Y'all were like going along with it. But over time, I feel like my viewers started to get annoyed with it too, and started to just kind of feel like, this isn't the same. You know, this isn't what I subscribed to originally. You know what I mean? And I can see that. And you can see that in my data, in my analytics. You can see I was on this huge upward spike of gaining subscribers and getting more and more views, and everything was on the up and up. Everything is more and more and more, higher, higher, higher. Everything is just growing, growing, growing. But then when all of that really started happening, it started to plateau, and it plateaued for a long time. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, at least it's not going down. But nowadays, it's almost kind of low-key going down, in a sense. Not completely, but like, it's making me question it. You know, it's making me notice. It's making me be like, don't love that. Don't love the way the numbers are looking right now. And that's due to a lot of different things. You know, social media, the algorithm, the apps are changing. The TikTok came over and took over YouTube. I mean, there's so much going on in the social media world, in this industry. You know, this industry is very unstable and forever changing. And I've always known that. But I do think that at least part of it is like all that stuff that I can't control. But part of it, I do think, is just what I said about, like, I feel like y'all can tell the difference between back then when I was personal and passionate versus now when I feel very stifled and silenced and commercialized. And, you know, again, for a long time, I was like, well, I can't complain. I'm grateful for these opportunities. I'm grateful to still be making it work regardless. I'm grateful that my stuff is kind of just plateauing and it's not going down. And it's a job at the end of the day. It's a job. Most people hate their jobs. You know what I mean? Most people are not passionate at all about what they do for a living. It's a job. It's a good job. It pays well. Get the fuck over it, Raven. That's what I told myself for a long time. Get over it. Get the check and get over it. It is a job. But as much as I tried to tell myself that, these days, as I sit here on this pink couch right now, it's bothering me. It's really, really bothering me. And I started to not be able to ignore it when the data started to show that you guys are bothered by it. Because what that means is, if my views are going down, if I'm not gaining subscribers like I used to, if people are just not tuned into my content and passionate about my content like they used to be, that's not good for my bottom line. Which leads me into my next major thing that I was going to talk to you guys about, which I have kind of briefly talked about in one of my previous podcast episodes. But my business is not doing as well as it once was currently. And when I say my business, I mean Raven Elise TV. Essentially, I run a social media content creation company. It's not just me in my bedroom with a camera posting videos anymore. I have multiple employees. I have full-time employees that are on payroll. It is a full-blown business, a full-blown company. And a lot of times when I say, like, if I refer to myself as a business owner, people are like, business? What business do you have? You don't, what product do you sell? Like, they kind of, I think, automatically think about, like, you know, having a brick and mortar business or having a clothing line or selling some sort of whatever. And it's like, no, I don't have that type of business, but this social media content creation, me being an influencer, is a business for sure in every sense of the word. And especially these days, as I've grown and expanded my team, like I said, I have full-time employees that are on payroll. So anything that I do or any decision that I make, or if stuff starts going wrong or going in the red, it's not just affecting me. It's not just affecting me and my mom, who's my manager. It's affecting me, my mom, my little sister, one of my closest friends, Taylor, my manager, Brianna, who I also consider to be a friend. I also have multiple editors on staff, photographers, graphic designers, web design. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's this whole domino effect because this is a company. And these days, I can't ignore the fact that certain things are in the negative, certain things are in the red, certain things are going downward on the graph. And what does that mean for me, but also everyone involved? Plus, you add in the fact that my business is very much a family business because I have my mom and my dad and my little sister and also friends on payroll, which in a sense can kind of make it nice to have these friends and family members who love and care about me to be by my side when stuff gets difficult within the business. It can be nice to have them. But on the other hand, it can pose its own difficulties, you know, that it has its pros and cons. Working with family and friends definitely has its pros and cons. And I know we had mentioned at one point, possibly doing a podcast episode with me and my mom to talk about that. And I think we should do that. So I do definitely want to, like, bring her on to do a whole separate episode about just the whole thing as far as working with family and that whole story. But just generally speaking, it definitely has its pros and cons, because I'll be real with you guys, and this is not something that I'm happy to say. It's embarrassing and it's hurtful for me to talk about, but I've had to make pay cuts recently, and I've had to have really difficult conversations with my team members as far as, like, we're gonna have to cut your hours and cut your pay, and, like, we're having to cut things back and reallocate and rebudget and rethink a lot of things because we're not just coasting along anymore like we were last year or the year before or anything like that. I am very used to, from the beginning of Raven Elise TV, I have been on a very pretty steep upward climb, always making more and more money, always working with bigger and bigger brands, always having better and better opportunities. From the beginning, it's been upward, 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 never really a low moment, never really a scare of, oh no, we're not bringing in income. Like, it's always been a steep upward climb, which is not normal for businesses. And I'm aware of the fact that, like, I'm very lucky in that sense. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for that experience. But because of that, I am not used to having to deal with the low moments as a business owner. I don't know what that's like. Never experienced that. This is my first time experiencing what it's like to have a low moment, lower income, lower everything, and have to have difficult conversations with my team, who also happen to be my friends and family, about it. And so that's what I was referring to in my vlog when I said that I've been having to have some difficult conversations. It's not been happy, good vibes on the team meetings recently. It's not been the normal thing that we're used to. Like, everything, there's so many different layers to it. And I don't want to bore you guys with the details of the industry. I don't know if y'all care, if y'all would even, like, if that would really make a difference to the main point that I'm making. But there is a lot of different reasons. There's a lot of things going on in the industry. It's not just me. It's not just what I'm doing wrong. Influencers in general, I think, are struggling and are seeing a lot of big changes right now. And it definitely is just a wave that I have to ride. I've always been riding this wave. Like I said, so being an influencer is not a very stable job. It is not, oh, you get the same paycheck every month and you can just count on it. No, it's very all over the place. I've just been lucky in the sense that, like, the way I've been riding the wave, I've been going good. And I've just been lucky in that sense. But now I'm starting to really ride the wave, ride the roller coaster of the ups and downs. And I'm just like, oh, this is very uncomfortable. This is very uncomfortable. It's giving me a lot of anxiety. It's giving me a lot of feelings of worry and guilt and what's going to happen and how can I do this and how can I fix this? And I'm the face of the brand and I'm the one. It's Raven Elise TV, but I, you know, there's just so much that goes into it. Because it's Raven Elise TV. And unfortunately, I am Raven. That's how I've been feeling recently. And my team was telling me that they feel like my feelings of frustration, as far as being frustrated that I can't tell my story the way I want to tell it, my feelings of burnout, my feelings of anxiety and worry about the current state of everything, they feel like that is starting to really show through my content and it's having a negative effect on my content, which I agree. If, you know, if you're in a bad mental space, anything that you produce is not going to be as good as it could be. And that's how I'm feeling right now. So what does that mean? What is the, I'm a very solution, you know, I'm a Virgo. I'm a very solution oriented person. And that's also been really frustrating for me because I find myself with these two major things. Like I said, you can't just spill the tea. You can't just not do the brand deals. So what's the solution? That's where I felt really stuck. Now lately with the whole brand deal situation, the brand deals have kind of stopped on their own. That's part of what I was referring to as far as like just in the industry in general, things are looking a little scary because the industry, the economy, the, you know, there's a lot going on in the world at large that affects my industry and affects my career to where right now the brand deals are just not even coming in like they used to. The brands are not even spending money like that on those things like they used to. So I haven't even been getting those opportunities like I used to. So it's not really much for me to stress about as far as doing brand deals because it ain't no brand deals. Let me not exaggerate. I have been doing brand deals on TikTok, but the YouTube brand deals that I'm used to doing, they've been, I mean, y'all could tell, if you watch my recent videos, they have not been sponsored. But yeah, that's a whole nother story about how like things have been shifting over to TikTok. But as far as the personal side of it, as far as me really itching to be more vulnerable, itching to be able to tell the story and like not even tell that specific story of the whole single mom thing, but just what's frustrating is the way that that story that I cannot tell, that I will not tell, trickles into so many other stories that therefore I cannot tell or will not tell or won't make sense unless you have the backstory of the main story. And that's really what's super frustrating to me because there's these other topics that I want to dive deeper into. Dating and relationships, parenting in general, mental health. There's so many other topics that it's like the things that I want to say on those other topics I can't say, or it won't make any sense because y'all don't have the backstory of the main thing because people don't realize like that story is, that's the biggest thing that has ever happened to me in my life. That was the most life-changing, me getting pregnant, giving birth and becoming a single mom. That is the number one most life-changing thing that has ever happened to me ever. That has literally made me who I am today. Like it's a huge, ginormous, not even elephant in the room. It is the room. You know what I mean? Like it is so pivotal to who I am as a person and everything that I do after that. in every way that I feel after that. My opinions on dating and relationships and having more kids and getting married and my struggles with mental health and my thoughts on parenting and how I, like everything, all the important stuff that comes after that ties back to that main experience that I cannot talk about. As a content creator who has based my whole platform on telling my story, do you understand how frustrating that is? And how it's just like, I literally don't know what to do with myself as a content creator. I don't know. And y'all can see where I've done my very, very best to find other shit to talk about, other shit to focus on, other types of content to make. Let's talk about party planning. Let's talk about home decor. Let's talk about DIY projects. Let's, you know, how else can I express myself? How else can I be creative? How else can I bring value to the world? But what I started to get really frustrated with is feeling like those other topics don't bring as much value to the world. You know, yes, DIY and home decor and party planning, it's valuable in its own way. It's not like that's just all for nothing. Like, there are people who really need that information, need that inspiration. Those are my passions and my interests. And I don't think there's anything wrong with making that type of content. I do think that content has its place in the world. I know that a lot of you guys enjoy it and do gain a lot of, you know, insight and value from it. But how does it compare to the value that you get from me opening up about really deep personal topics? It doesn't compare. It's not the same value. It's not the same. It's not the same connection that I have with you guys. And it's not the same value that you guys gain from it. And I think I started to feel a little bit like almost like insecure, or just a little bit, I guess insecure is the best way to put it, about like my purpose as an influencer. You know, I was telling my team the other day, I never came on social media with the goal of, I use the example of selling air fryers. I got this new cute air fryer. You guys should check it out. Link in bio. Okay, cool. Yeah, some people do need an air fryer. Some people are glad that I shared the air fryer. I get that. But that's not what I came on Beyonce's internet to do. That is not what I came and built this platform to do. I did not come on the internet. I did not build this platform to sell you guys shit. I did not build this platform to only talk about kitchen items and home decor and planning my next party. Yes, those things have their place and we can have a balance and we can have a mix of that. But I did not come on here to only do that, to feel like that's the only thing that I'm bringing to the table. And lately, like more and more, I start to feel that way. I start to feel like it's a more and more commercialized, more and more superficial, more and more frivolous topics that don't really matter and don't really make a huge impact. And less of the real shit that I really came on here to talk about, the real shit that I really know would have a bigger effect and a much more positive impact on people. But feeling like I can't because I feel like I'm trapped in this box of just not being able to talk about certain things. And as much as I know there's going to be some people who are like, just do it. Like, we're here for you. Like, you should feel this is a safe space. Like, you should just go ahead and open up. You should just do it. You should just do what you feel. Like, say what you want to say. Get it off your chest, girl. We support you. We want to hear it. Like, encouraging me to just go ahead and say what I want to say and be as vulnerable as I want to be. I cannot and I will not. I cannot and I will not. And you got to really put yourself in my shoes and think about the reasons why. You know what I mean? And even though I know that those reasons are valid, it's still just so frustrating. And that's where I'm stuck right now. So I'm trying to figure out some sort of compromise. What's the compromise here? You know what I mean? What's the compromise? And really, this is the compromise. This podcast episode is sort of the compromise. This is about as far as I feel like I can go right now. These are the things that I feel like I can tell you and talk about. And I guess it's just a matter of taking baby steps, especially with the podcast. I think that's going to be like my main outlet to feel like, okay, with the podcast, we talk about real shit. With the podcast, I bring that personal touch and that value that I really want to bring. And I, like I started off this episode saying, I really do plan on taking the podcast more seriously, being more consistent with it this year, bringing on more special guests and stuff like that. So I'm hoping that I'm able to find that compromise here, and I'm able to find that sense of like release almost with the podcast. My main YouTube channel, my TikTok, my Instagram, all that other stuff, yeah, I don't really know. I don't really know what's about to happen over there. Things are very rocky in a sense anyway, with some of my other platforms, but I'm just trying to do what I can to feel like I'm walking in my purpose. As cheesy as that sounds, I have not felt like I'm really walking in my purpose recently. I have not felt like I'm doing what I came here to do. And I need to change that because I'm feeling so frustrated, so sad, so anxious and depressed and burnt out about it. And something's got to give. So that's why I wanted to come on here and just like lay that all out here and explain that to you guys. So you guys can kind of know that that's my starting point. That's where I'm coming from. And yeah, I think that's it. Thank you for listening, as always. I don't know what's next after this. I don't know where I'm going to go from here as far as, you know, my next episode and stuff like that. I do think doing the episode with my mom and talking more about like the family business, mother-daughter manager, that whole thing would be really interesting. So let me know in the comments if you guys are interested in that. But yeah, that's everything. So I will talk to you guys in my next one. Bye.